Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right. Welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is episode 12.
Oh, was it 12 or is it 13? I thought I have no bloody clue. It's 12. Or did we
12.
Miss
12? Yeah. 12. Right. I mean, at this rate, with all the emails that we've gotten, it feels like episode 112. But we'll get there. Like I said.
Oh my gosh. We have enough material to get there. Definitely. Let's put it that way. Oh, do yeah. We ever?
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. We have, so we're being flexible today. We're trying to figure things out. LinkedIn is being a little problematic for us with the integrations, but we are on YouTube, live on YouTube and on Twitter, but YouTube is where to find us. I just dropped a link on LinkedIn for everybody to go to the YouTube channel. So hopefully we'll be able to get folks over from LinkedIn into YouTube. I hope. Maybe we should drop something on LinkedIn in our feeds just to say, hey, flop on the LI side. I don't know. Anyway, worst comes to worst, we'll send the replay to everybody afterwards. If they didn't find the link in the comments, they are in the comments on LinkedIn. Anywho, Chris, how are you doing? Oh, nope, can't hear you now. Gotcha. We're figuring systems out today. And speaking of systems,
Plantronic and Plantronic. All right, test that. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right, stupid bloody system decided they wanted to put something default in place. Yeah, no, I was saying, did you put something on your feed and my feed, or do you just put it on the notifications?
So I put it on the notifications within the actual event, but I think what I'll do is within the post.
Let's put it in the post as well. Yeah, if you want to drop it in mine, that'd be awesome.
So we'll do a quick, okay, we're going to do this live. So we're posting on LinkedIn, everyone.
this LinkedIn.
Is what happens. Yes.
Y'all failed. We're going to YouTube. Love,
seriously.
Sucks and kisses.
I tried to change the title. It didn't let me change the title, but here we go.
It'll be fine. It is what it is. Somebody just told us we're 14. You know, whatever we are, we're in the teens. How about we just go with that one? Although 12 isn't teens, is it? It's like that preteen type of teen thing. Who knows? We are where we are at this point in time. Bemused, right. Confused, confusticated. Kind of like the entire industry.
Oh my God. Okay, I hate doing this. Okay, here we go. I posted on the A1 channel, folks.
Cool.
And I'm going to update the post on LinkedIn, everyone.
Paste on LinkedIn.
Yeah, got to copy paste on LinkedIn. If you want to drop in, Chris, I'm going to shoot you that link. Before we get into the juicy stuff, everyone, I'm going to shoot you this link that's in the private chat if you want to drop that in your
LinkedIn feed.
LinkedIn feed. And then we'll get Alrighty. Going, everyone. Thank you for being patient.
Welcome to the wonderful world of live broadcast.
Yeah, seriously.
This is why these people have huge, great big studios and multi-million dollar budgets, so that when this happens, it can be nice and smooth rather than just us like, yeah, scuck it. We'll figure it out.
All right. Posting on a update in 3, 2, and 1. All right. Hopefully that works. Anyway, we have actually our... We have our dedicated followers with us on YouTube, which is pretty exciting. And I got 2 more subscribers. Yes. On YouTube. James is in the house. Maria is in the house. Martin is in the house. Our dedicated followers who are always on every week. We've been on for 12 weeks, which is awesome. Thank you, James, for the blessings. I got married last week, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Officially married. Yay.
Yeah.
Official. I was married for 5 years ever since she looked at my picture. That was the wedding. Okay. How are you doing? What's new in your world before we kick it off?
Hanging in, hanging in. A little bit of drama going on with some of the Hillbilly Hit Squad stuff. Kind of the stuff you and I were talking about behind the scenes, which is building, running, deconstructing, constructing a business is a challenge. It's a huge, huge challenge. Sometimes very rewarding. Sometimes you just want to stand there against the wall and just donk, 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 donk. And that's going through a little bit of that. It sounds like you and I are both going through a little bit. You for the reasons of growth, me for the reasons of trying to wrap up the organization with a little less headaches than we currently have at the moment, shall we say.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I mean, it's funny you ask, so what's Danny, you're generally on it. What's going on? I'm like, yeah, lots going on between the customers, producing for them, marketing for myself, finding new people. And just now we launched Audience First, just launched the Academy, the Startup Academy. We're kicking off the first learning path, which is called the CISO Value Distillery, which is a great, great course led by Dimitri, who was on the panel a few months ago, for sales professionals who want to amplify and create value for the C-suite and security. So yeah, we're kicking that off next week. That's why I'm so like, I'm running around like a headless chicken. Next week, we are going to be at Intel Ignite in Tel Aviv. We have about 60 registrants to take the essentials workshop, which is awesome. I mean, our goal was 15. We have 60 registered live in person. We're going to have to cut it off. And then we have pre-enrollment going on right now for the essentials course, which is free, 3 hours and on demand. So anybody who wants to get that course February 7th, shameless plug, pre-enroll on the website under Academy Essentials. I'll drop the link later to everybody else, but that's really exciting. We're doing a lot at Audience First, and so I'm trying to figure out how to navigate the growth waters here as a CEO, marketer, sales pro, and developer, everything basically.
Look,
yeah,
you know, we're gonna have to do, if I'm back over there for Cyber Week this year, we're gonna have to do something at Cyber Week as well. We'll have to figure that out.
Oh yeah, Cyber Week, and then Black Hat,
you and I on stage.
Black Hat, we can do stage. We got to do something at Black Hat, which is going to be something.
That'd be cool.
Here we go.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We've got plenty of time to play with things.
Yeah. All right. Some people can't find the link, but let me just quickly share the link once more, and then we're going to get going. We're going to get going into the teardown.
Goody, 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 goody.
We spent enough time chatting about updates. Here we go. Reply. There we go. Okay. So you sent me a few great little nuggets in the past few weeks, and one stood out to me. Martin, no problem. We'll chat. One stood out to me. I was like, ooh, okay, this is a big one, because it's generally used as a tactic I've seen throughout nurture flows on my previous teams. We are talking today about free security reviews of your systems. Now I will hand off the baton to you, Chris. You go for it. Tell us what we're talking about here. Let's do the
so down. We'll go with unsolicited free reviews. This is where the context comes in. So I'm gonna we'll start with email. So imagine CISO sitting down, working as you normally do. Inbound email comes in. Hi, Chris. I hope you're well. We've conducted a free cybersecurity review of your business, and we'd love to book a slot in your diary for a no obligation chat about what we've found. Cyber breaches are massively on the up, particularly in your industry. So now is a good time to chat your security through with you. When is best for you to spend 15 minutes on a call with me next week to go through it together? Many thanks, Natasha. And I'll leave the security solutions company name out of it. How about the WTF moment that starts that one off? I mean, there was the, so first and foremost, that hit the inbox, I think it was last week. I think it hit the inbox last week. So it's tough because I've sat on the other side of, again, to Danny's point, I've sat on the other side of this and I've wanted to help people. You know, we have all the breach databases. You just want to reach out to people and say, hey, your info is on the breach database. Yell if you want to know more. In some ways, that's good. But in other ways, it's almost a form of extortion. It's almost a form of, you remember as a kid, okay, this is the other thing that really annoys the hell out of me. As a kid, I know something you don't know. Na, 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 na. I know something you don't know. Na, 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 na. Yeah, no, not good. Not good. Bad. Bad. Really bad. Really. Oh, I know secrets you don't know. Fuck you. And that was like the initial reaction. I'm like, okay, are we kids on the play school again? Is this a form of extortion? Is this a... I mean, this is literally, I know something you don't know. Let me rephrase this. I know something you don't know. The problem is they don't know what I already know and don't know. We do external scans. We do internal scans. We do our own. We bring in external companies. If I've missed something, then A, I'd be surprised. But, you know, it's always nice to have a second set of authorized eyes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was a good one. And then, you know, the normal. So, line one, nerny, nerny, nerner, we know something you don't know. Line number two, cyber breaches are massively on the up. Actually, no shit, Sherlock. We all know that.
No.
And actually, breaches themselves are on the way down. Ransomware is still a mess, but the volume and consistency of them is up, particularly in your industry. Okay, so you've done a full study of the aviation industry and manufacturing and aviation, and you know what's going on. I think I'm going to call bullshit on that one too. So we think now is a good time to chat about your security. So this actually came out of the UK. I think that was the other thing that was a WTF moment. This is an English company. So that kind of affronts me on a couple of different reasons. One, civilized British folks should not be doing this bullshit. So I responded, and I'm like, WTF, why is a company based out of the UK doing security reviews of systems without authorization? And then got another message, which made me pissed even more. So I don't think I sent this one to you. So the response I got, so this is an English company that's gone, nerny, nerny, we know something you don't know, and we did a review. Then they freely admit that we're actually working with a US company who has been doing the audits. Don't worry, we haven't accessed any of your systems for this. Just looking into things from an external perspective. Hang on, you're hitting me up, telling me you know shit you don't know, but you didn't do the work and somebody else did the work. Yeah, this is all sorts of wrong. On so many different levels. So, yeah, we have a lot to build up on this one.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that in some cases, those assessments and reviews and all those kind of things can be very efficient. So what is an efficient kind of approach to providing you with a review or assessment look like? Not through that. Email, maybe? And
Here's the problem. I mean, you're not going to get to me. Oh, you say not going to get to me. I responded to somebody's message. You know the default template I put out there, dear vendor, bugger off. Mm-hmm. So I sent one of those back to somebody the other day because it was another, hey, we can solve all of your problems. I'm like, no, you can't. So I sent them the dear vendor. I kid you not, 2 minutes later, the damn telephone rings. I'm like, not only did you not read it, not only did you not do that, now you're right. And I actually answered the call because it was a UK number. And for me, UK number typically is my mother okay? But yeah, and it was like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and you just sent me an email. I'm like, and so why the hell are you calling me? Well, because I'm like, did you read the fucking email? Yeah, I think there's both a way more, and I've got a lot of personal experience in this particular one. So I kind of take like a double affront to the whole thing. Yeah, Jason, I don't give a shit. Any response gets a response. Yeah, your response might be a fucking B-52 loaded down with damn weapons. You don't want that kind of response. And neither do you want me pissed at you because it's like, well, any response is a good response. No, it fucking isn't. You're wasting my damn time.
Now, say it like it really is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So and that's, I think that's what pisses me off. That I think is where I think the sales is fucked up. Because, well, I got a response. No, you didn't. You got a pissed off CISO who, if he sees you in person, is likely to punch you in the face at this moment in time because you wasted my time. Especially when you send bullshit like that, which is like, hi, we did an assessment. No, you didn't. At best, I hope all of you did is maybe just found out what open source intel was at about us. And then the challenge is how much work have you done to assume that it's right? How much background checking did you do to find out whether it's actually legit information? I've seen too many of these where they'll mix up companies' worth of information. And you end up having to go through this bloody stuff because somebody says, well, you've got a problem. It's like, well, actually, that's not my IP range. That's not my address. And you're wrong. So why have I just wasted my time with you?
Side note, we do not condone any violence on Audience First,
Yeah, we do.
FYI.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
But I
Depends.
remember, so I remember we had okay, I'm gonna it might be a redundant question, but when I was over at CyberSixSkill, you got kind of free assessments and reports over there. Those were pretty useful for you. Why were those good versus, I mean, you were a customer also, but maybe
I was gonna say
before?
I was a customer as well.
Maybe before,
Well, no,
because we
because I
had some
think,
assessments and stuff.
yeah. So the stuff that was useful from CyberSixSkill was like the external research, the industry research. So rather than calling up and going, "Hey, Chris, we know something you don't know," go like, "Hey, we understand the state that we understand that the aviation and manufacturing industries are being more heavily targeted. Here is some information to maybe help you with that. Here are some basics that we've seen. Here's some information. Here's some intelligence that we've understood. Here are some favorite ways of targeting your folks." That stuff is actually ridiculously useful because it also not only does it help me go and maybe look at something, but when I'm sitting in front of the audit or the review or the board of directors, I can give them what they need, which is a much more efficient view as to the industry. Going in and going, "We have problems." Well, hopefully, if this is the first time they've heard it, they've been asleep at the wheel, because I've been telling that from all the time. But what they want to know is what's the context of "we have issues to sort out" versus the industry context of like, "Hey, we have the problem." So walking in and going, "Hey, look, across the entire industry, they're seeing an advanced level attacks against supply chain. We're seeing more efficient attacks on the human front. We are seeing this, this, and this. And by the way, these APT groups or these groups out of these countries." So now we look at geopolitical situations. That stuff is invaluable because that's helping inform decisions that I can also take to the board. I can also, when I'm looking at other products and solutions, it helps me understand maybe where I think I should focus. Perfect example. Let's just say and CyberSixSkill was actually fantastic for doing this. CyberSixSkill will go, "Here's the state of the industry." Let's say the state of the industry for aviation and manufacturing is your third-party supply chain is vulnerable to attacks in certain types of areas or countries. Great. So rather than me going off and buying more locks and more man traps and more stuff that's physical, maybe I hold back some of that money and put more money into my vendor supply chain, my vendor awareness, my vendor training, and I make sure that we have a more efficient way of selecting data, hauling back data, and understanding the vulnerabilities there. So I can use that. I can actually take it. I can communicate to people with it. That's useful.
Happy to, by the way, to the group here, happy to share some of those reports. I don't think they're gated, so you could see
No,
some
they're
of them.
not.
Yeah, they're not
Yeah,
gated. So
CyberSixSkill's got them out. They got a whole bunch of the resource stuff out there,
yeah.
which is stupid useful.
Yeah, those are great examples.
That's okay. So here's another one. You just hit the nail on the head. It's not gated. We go back to this email. We go straight back to this email. This email is, "I know something you don't know. One, you're not sharing it with me openly and freely. Secondly, you're requesting time. When's the best time to spend 15 minutes on a call to go through together?" So rather than just saying, "Hey," and another, so this is what we end up doing when we had Owl, One World Labs. we would go like, hey, seen some stuff on the breach information, here it is. And we just hand it over. Now, sometimes you would get a, holy shit, thank you very much for that. How did you find it? Where did you find it? Can you find more of it? You got to be careful there, because you can put a little bit more effort in for free, but at some point in time you're like, hey, this is causing me man hours, and we got to get paid for it. You would sometimes get, you bastards, you broke into us, at which point I'm like, if we hadn't articulated it correctly, we would re-stipulate, this is what we do for a living, this is what we found, we're just trying to help you. And then occasionally, you know, we get the lawyers who be like, well, you know, da-da-da-da. I'm like, guys, this is out on the bloody internet. Good luck, enjoy yourselves, have at it. But we would hand information over. It wouldn't be gated. It wouldn't be withholden. It would be in a very quick, simple report going, hey, look, this is an awareness thing. We've seen your creds out there. Here's the data. Do us all a favor. Do something about it. End of conversation.
There you go. That's the buildup.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's two parts. Either that buildup, mm-hmm. either the buildup is directly like, look, hey, here's what we found. You already might have some intel stuff. You already may be doing something. But look, if you don't have this, at least please be aware of it. And by the way, it's relatively fresh. Here it is. If we can answer any questions, give us a shout.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is, look, hey, we understand that the particular industry you're in has got these challenges. These are new reference issues. And here's some intel on it.
Mm-hmm.
You want any more? It's here on the site. Or if we can help you any further, let us know.
There you go.
It doesn't take anything more than that.
And yet. Unfortunately.
And yet we get the playground tactics of, I know something you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, that will be the title of this episode.
I know something.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me do my job.
Playground tactics.
By the way, everybody, folks. Chris is an excellent copywriter. Like, I don't know why he doesn't work in marketing. Seriously. he's an audience first secret, you know, copywriter, ad copywriter. all engagement is because of Chris.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, this again is treating somebody like a human. I think that's where it's showing value up front. It's it's assuming, I mean, I'm not good at this. I don't like people. It's assuming the best, maybe securing yourself for the worst. But it really is one of those things where it's just like, I wish we didn't get, you know, perfect example. I mean, I look on LinkedIn now and they're like, hey, free report or free this. And you go to it and it's fill out your bloody information. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm about to be added to a bloody another damn list that I don't want to be added to. I'd rather get hold of somebody in the company and say, hey, do you mind chucking me a copy of the report? Or you know what? I'll just go do my own bloody research. Because I don't need another freaking opt-out. I mean, that was the other thing on this one is, you know, I would love to know why I got targeted. I would love to know why, what... Because you know as well as I do, I mean, if they found something on us, hopefully I would already know about it. And I know what we've got out there, and I know we got some work to do. No two ways about it. And it's on the hit list. But from a priority standpoint, there are other things that are more pressing within the security realm and safety realm of Boom at the moment. Yeah, there we go. So whoever the heck is... 2011051111.
I bet you that's Avi. I bet you it's Avi. Please confirm if you feel comfortable. 20110510010078.
Otherwise, we're going to hunt you to the ends of the earth and put you on every single opt-in list we can hopefully do. Yeah.
All right. If it is him, he should confirm that. It sounds like, given the great insight and commentary.
But it's true. I mean, exactly to the point. You know, if we started with, this is what we offer, this is what we're seeing in your industry, would you like to talk? Yeah, and I think that's one way of doing it. That comes definitely back to that conversation of, like, proving value and then go from there.
There, it's Ravi.
It is Ravi. Perfect.
I was close. Avi, Ravi. Okay. All right, I want to bring on Martin, because Martin has a question. Let me see. I pinged Martin. We're trying to figure this out again. We're on YouTube. You know what, Chris? What we're going to do? I think we're going to migrate to YouTube. We'll
just... Yeah.
Because LinkedIn. Not right now. LinkedIn, today. No, not right now. But for the future episodes, mm-hmm. YouTube is being nice to us. LinkedIn is
more civilized.
Yeah, a little bit funky.
We run. YouTube has its moments. We'll have to mess. Maybe you and I can get on at some point in time.
We'll
test it. Yeah, we'll mess around and we'll test it. Because I know, talk with Ryan and Evan, because I know when we did the security shit show, we had it on YouTube, but then we cross-pollinated it with a bunch of others. And sometimes that was a challenge.
Gotcha.
All right, so you know what? We can answer Martin's.
Martin asked, what's the best legit info you ever got?
I honestly think it's more the industry, third-party supply chain industry stuff. I think that to me, I'm pretty aware as to our own surroundings. I mean, nothing's perfect. We have threat intel. We have some actionable intelligence. We do some basic stuff. We do internal external scanning. We've got a pretty good idea as to what's going on inside our own perimeter and outside of it. Ha, perimeter doesn't exist. Sorry. Fallacy. But for me, what I don't have the time to do and what I've seen done really well, and again, CyberSixGirl can take some credit for this one. I've seen a few others. But those folks have actually done a really nice job of just providing industry intelligence, updates on what certain groups and certain areas are doing. The geopolitical stuff is ridiculously useful as well. I mean, especially, you know, as Boom is sending people into various parts of the world to go talk with clients, having that information definitely has its uses. Understanding what's going on a global position is ridiculously useful. Again, from a Boom standpoint, at the moment, we don't have to be overly concerned by it because we're still building the darn planes. We're not flying them all over the world. But at some point in time, soonish, those darn things are going to be jetting all over the world. So I'm going to want to know as much as I can in advance as to what the situation is in each one of our main hubs, et cetera, et cetera. So having that information, understanding it, having it basically boiled down into something usable is probably one of the most valuable things I think we can get out of any of this.
But what does usable look like? Because there's information and then there's information that you can apply. So
yeah, actionable intelligence.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So what is, yeah. Give an example. Is there an example or a way you like your information created for you to use?
Yeah, so I think a perfect example would be, I mean, let's face it, you look at some of the bigger breach. We can go back to Solar. We can go to some of the stuff that happened with the LastPass and the one and all that stuff. knowing as much as we can about that has its uses because as an organization, we use certain bits of software. If all of a sudden, let's say Palo Alto was flagged. You'll see it all over the news. And good gods, that's so much sensationalized news inside the information security world. It's ridiculous. What is useful is when that actionable intelligence comes across absolutely devoid of emotion. And those reports are great. Here's what happened. Here's where we are. Here's what we see. Here's what's going on. That kind of stuff is ridiculously useful because now I can take a step back and go, okay, what's the risks within the organization? I can also take a step back and go, hey, is this something I need to have a conversation with a rep about? Is this something that we need to figure out within the organization? I think, yeah, Jason said it right. There is too much FUD. So I don't want to go onto LinkedIn and look at 20 different people's opinions as to why, in this case, let's say Palo Alto needs to be hung, drawn, and quartered. What I need is good information that turns into good intelligence that goes from there. James, absolutely right. They are really, really good at that. And I like it because they have some good stuff. And there's a few other teams that actually have some really, really good intel-driven, very emotionless data points. And I think that's what I look for is more that. Now, personally, we run intel packets on some of our leadership because anything that affects them as individuals can affect the organization. And not just leadership. Let me make it very clear. There are engineers here who are sitting at the same kind of desk I am, who I also run Intel packets on. And I tell them about it because, again, they're critical. They are core to the organization. They're working on stuff that we consider, you know, confidential or restricted confidential. And so insofar as that goes, I want to make sure that they're okay, that from a human standpoint, that they're taken care of. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily, from a business standpoint, that if there is a risk, that we know about it. You know, so if somebody, you know, we actually run some of those Intel packets with other organizations. We run some internally. We run some with a couple of other companies just to see and make sure that we cross-reference enough. So again, if I knew that one of the tactics that coming out from somewhere was that they were going after more people-focused attacks, so less on the physical, less on the jump in the door, less on the tech, and more actually going after, let's say, going after Blake. Mm-hmm. You know, Blake's the CEO of this company. If they go after Blake, I kind of want to know about it. Mm-hmm. Or if they are across the aviation industry or across manufacturing, they're targeting more human-centric attacks. Well, that's useful for me. Now I know I can put some more training to Blake. Now I know I can just walk into his office and go, hey, heads up. Just ask yourself, instead of one question before you click or look at the email, ask yourself two questions. So, you know, it's just simple stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, for those who are listening in post live, James gave reference to Unit 42 from Palo Alto Networks. So that's just an FYI for anybody who's listening and didn't understand who we're referring to. Martin is in the waiting room. Let's bring on Martin, see if he has another question, because we gave quite an extensive answer to his initial one. Let's see. Oh, looks like he disappeared. Hello.
Howdy doody. How we all doing?
It's a Monday.
Hey, well, in Israel, it starts on Sunday. And know, mazal tov to Danny. Ben,
thank
really.
You.
Mazal tov. To, I was going to say to many more, but that sounds stupid.
Well,
anyway.
Too many years, let's just say.
Yes. Amen. Okay. My first question on the first podcast of Audience First was, is there a good way to ambulance chase? The answer was no. And our
that was
wise
with Alan.
Chris told, yeah. And Chris told us, listen, drop, hey, buddy, if you need any help, I'm here. Even if it's sending a whiskey, giving you anything, sending you noodles in the middle of the night, I'm here. Catch up later. I understand that. But here's the but. I target specifically, I work for Centra. I'm plugging it. That's Josh, our head of marketing in the background.
Josh.
We do data security. We do extremely well. And we work with a lot of specifically food industries that are B2C in the States. Those are our clientele. That's what we know. That's what we're working on. And last week, KFC heard about the data breach.
Keep names out of it.
Okay. So a chicken connoisseur company.
Don't push it.
Okay. A food company in the world suffered an incident in a computer. And the question is, how do I target them in an intelligent, non-invasive way of just like, we've been helping XYZ. And this is what we could do. Now, I know the just suggest it and say, if you need anything, as you said, and I sent personalized emails, non-automation, with specific examples of free tools that they could download, that they could sample our work and stuff like that. What's the best way to say, hey, I know this is a shit storm. We're here after, before, whenever you need us.
That's it. You just said it.
Okay, so I answered my own question.
Nothing else needs to be said. I mean, that's it. Here's the thing, and don't always expect a response, because they've got 100 messages. And by the way, those 100 messages are by far and away secondary to everything else that they're trying to do. I mean, that organization is having to deal with forensics teams, is having to deal with compliance, with regulatory. They will have every single one of those organizations breathing down their neck. They will be doing daily reports in and out to the legal teams, to the... It's a mess. Having run a number of incident responses over the years, the last thing I'm thinking of doing, quite honestly, is checking most of my email or my LinkedIn to see who else. Now, at some point in time, I might go back through my messages and go, oh, well, that was cool. Yeah, I could have done with that. Hey, thanks very much for the info. Let's catch up on a conversation. But there's also a chance it just might not happen. I think this is where I see a number of flaws in sales and marketing, which is you think you're right for everybody. And unfortunately, you're not. Whether you think you have the solution, and you might have, that doesn't mean you're always going to get a response. At some point in time, you cut bait, move on.
Timing is everything?
Yes and no. I mean, either that or just mark it up as like, hey, if you see that organization floating around at a conference or anything else, just go, hey, how are you doing? Know you had a bit of a problem 3, 6, 9, 12 months ago. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. Makes sense.
Yeah, and it's tough. And it is tough because, again, I think this is the problem. Everybody thinks that they – and in your case, you know, if you are doing that data work and having done the Intel side of things for a number of times, I know that frustration. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at all the creds. I'm looking at all the data. I can tell you exactly what happened, but I'm not going to get an answer. And at some point in time, I'm like, here's your data. Here's what we know. Here's all the info. Good luck. Yell at me if I can help. And 2 or 3 times out of 10, we got a message back going, hey, thanks. We'll be in touch. Or, hey, yeah, let's jump on a call. 6, 7, 8 times out of 10, didn't hear a darn thing. And it is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, for sure. You're welcome. Thanks for that, Martin. Martin, I just dropped a link to an episode of Audience First with Limor Kesem on how to handle crises with commander's intent. So that's really relevant given some of the turmoil that we're all in, particularly the practitioners. Might want to give that a listen and give you some advice as well for how to handle that in-house. Cool. See you later, Martin.
So let me add something on this one. So
yeah,
we here on Audience First do not call out companies' names. You will notice as much granting and telling as I do, it is very rare that I will call out a company that has dropped into the inbox. The same goes for breaches. The same goes for anybody that's managed to get themselves on the front page of the newspaper, or this day and age is probably the third page. Not going to call them out. And won't call them out for a bunch of different reasons. One, naming and shaming never helps anybody. Secondly, I don't need it coming back on us. Thirdly, and probably more importantly, we all have friends in this industry in all these different companies. Their work is hard enough without being called out across the entire social media world for the failings or for what happened when we don't know the facts. We're not there. We're not living it. We don't know what's going on. They might have done everything they put. You know the deal. We all know this deal. So if I do name somebody, it's either the exception to the rule or I'm so freaking mad at them. Colonial Pipeline would be one of them. That it's a one and done. But for the most part, we would do our best not to name and shame.
Correct. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Actually, we're heading towards the end of the session, but I have one question that kind of ties into tools to help do your job. We talked about, you know, free review or free unsolicited for reviews, assessments, tools, calculators, whatever, reports. But I mean, are there any, you know, an Audience First and in the general flow of the conversations, I ask, how do you buy? How do you evaluate tools? What are the triggers to buy? That kind of stuff. But are there any tools or pieces of content that help you move you along the sales process? Calculate like ROI calculators, because there are a lot of those, you know, things online. And is it a waste of time for content marketers to build that and product marketers to build that? Or does it help you? Are there any tools of sorts? Are there examples you can share that are you know,
so helping you? So here's a good way of looking at it. So we're January now. We're just past mid part of January. This year's, and to some degree next year's, focuses have already been put in place. So if I take Boom as the perfect example, we are beholden to DoD standards 800-171, so NIST standards. We're also beholden to the NIST cybersecurity framework. When I turned up, we put a stake in the ground and said, this is where we are. Mm-hmm. And the board of directors was like, we'd like to be at a different number. And I'm like, we'll work on that. And so we agreed a plan that said by the end of 2022, we'd be here. 23, here's where we record us, and 24 the same way. Now, it's simple. This is simple math. This is in order to get to a certain number, in order to get to where we need to on 800-171, there are certain tasks that we have to get done. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This isn't anything anybody doesn't know. So the way we work and the way I work is I sit down and September, October, November timeframe, we're like, all right, this is where we're at. What are we doing next year? That plan's already in place. We're fleshing out the entire basically business plan is exactly what we're focusing on. So from a core and even from like a non-central core stuff, I know exactly what I'm focused on. I can bring up my little security projects thing here that says, and I'll talk about it. Implement, identify technologies for a data repository and define the processes and procedures and governance certificates for data management. That's one of my tasks. One of my other tasks is some stuff to do with cybersecurity and ransomware. One of my other tasks is taxonomy focusing. Those are the core tasks. And any CISO, hopefully, touch wood, almost any CISO will have a similar kind of story. In other words, you might have the best, this is what I was trying to explain, you might have the best secret source known to mankind. But if it's not on the roadmap for where I'm focusing this year, the chances of you getting through to me are pretty damn minimal, unless I know I can build it into the cybersecurity framework that I haven't already dealt with, or the 800, or one of the taxonomies, or one of the data vaulting, or some of the other stuff that I've got on the plate. If it doesn't fit into the roadmap that I'm working towards, unless it's an exception that makes sense, that I can justify, the chance of it going in there is pretty much about zero. Now, when it comes down to that, so a perfect example, let's just say somebody comes up and says, I got a really good widget to deal with data governance and data management. Brilliant. Explain to me how that helps me within either the NIST cybersecurity framework or the DoD. Where do you hit? When I was with Ativo now, was it Ativo Calvia? When I was with Ativo, we did a really nice job of looking at the MITRE attack framework. Again, they've done a fantastic job. They've done like stupid good job. And we're like, where do we influence? Where can we say that we play inside that framework? And then inside NIST, if you implement deception, if you implement threat intelligence, these are the bullet points of NIST that I will actually intersect with. So then the nice thing for me is I can go, hey, I'm looking at these three different products. This one I know hits these areas, which I know I need to focus on. This is a match. Let's have a conversation. Does that make sense?
100%. That is golden. So, I mean, I love the whole session, but if anything, the highlight for me was you basically listing all of that. So amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have 17 minutes. I do want to step off a little bit early because I know Chris has a hard stop. Anything you want to impart on the audience before signing off today?
I think probably two things, and one probably reflects back on that. I'm fortunate. This isn't my first rodeo inside the CISO role. So I know I have a hit list. Here's my hit list of things I'm focusing on. Now, the nice thing about it for me is I don't want to deal with droves of vendors. So I've cheated. And I have cheated in a very, very good way because I get my cake and I get to eat it. So Victoria, you and I both know Victoria. So Victoria is over at Kaliti. We've put Kaliti in front of us. And what I'm doing now with Victoria is so we have a project to go play Hunt the Day. So I've talked to Victoria and I've said, look, do me a favor, go look at the ecosystem for everybody that's doing basically data hunting. In other words, where's my data inside the organization? There's some ones that she found. That's been fantastic because that means I don't have to talk to 20 vendors to find out whether they can do what they say they can do or not. Mm-hmm. It means that Victoria and her team act as a shield. So any vendor that hits me up, I can go talk to Victoria. But more than anything, we're actually working this one out now, is I value their time enough that we're, it's like, okay, how do I make sure I compensate you? Because now I'm leaning on you, not just for that, but I'm going to lean on you for some ransomware stuff. I'm going to lean on you for this. I'm going to lean on you for this. It's the same thing with Maria over at NewSpire. I mean, this is another perfect example. It was like, now we're looking at doing some stuff with distributed data and all sorts of other weird shit. My first port of call was back to her going, hey, do you do this? And she's like, yeah, let me catch up with you on, you know, Monday or Tuesday. Once you have an established relationship, once there is trust in place with a vendor or two, I can look at my hit list, everything I know to do. I can go to Maria and go, hey, do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Great. You do those three things. Great. Go off and do them. 2023, 2024, that's dealt with. I can go to Victoria and Khalidi and go, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this. Do me a favor, go look at the market, go look at everybody else that's out there and give me the top three or four that we need to talk to. Anything else outside of that, the dozens of emails a day coming inbound, A, I'm either going to ignore, B, they're going to get that dear vendor letter, C, they might get the go talk to Victoria, but more often than not, the chances are they might be hitting something that they don't understand. And so rather than telling me what you can fix, why don't you ask me what I need?
Mm-hmm. Or D, they'll end up here. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The case.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Love it. Yeah. Dropped Quality in there. Great new tool coming out. Well, I mean, they're live now, but they're mm-hmm. the product is launching this month. They will be at CyberTech, actually. I told them come over to CyberTech.
Oh, yes. She said they were going to come out and hang out with you.
Yeah. So we'll see them next week.
I want pictures.
They just launched their new website. Check them out. Pretty cool tool, both for buyers and for firms. So amazing.
Cold. I think they just opened. Yeah. So I'm in the hangar. If you hadn't figured this out, I'm actually in the hangar. The plane isn't here. Actually, what we do have, and I can't show you, but it's really fucking cool. What I do have is the mock-up of the fuselage with all the interior.
I'm like, quick.
No. More than my job's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the mock-up for the interior for the fuselage for the jet.
That's cool.
With all the seating, all the other stupid shit that goes with it. So I'm looking at it right now, but I can't show you. Sorry. We're in the hangar. The plane is over a different one, but they've got the damn hangar door open. It's cold because there's lots of snow on the ground.
This is my flying thing. Hello, Chloe. Cool. Yeah,
oh,
fly away.
So cute.
All right. Yeah. So we're ended up. Okay. One thing I want to pardon the audience today. If anything, as a marketer or a sales pro within the organization, be best friends with the researchers, the analysts. I mean, they are such a valuable source of information and just tool resource for connecting with buyers, for helping buyers, for helping practitioners, helping yourself just educate yourself in the industry and stay atop of what's going on. I almost wish I was a little bit closer to some of them and working with them more consistently, but the best information and the best campaigns, the best content that we created was the content with researchers. And I can't stress enough how important it is to connect with them.
I'm going to add one on to that. Mm-hmm. Stop gating information.
I think at some point it's okay to gate some. I do think it's okay to gate some. I mean, look,
yeah,
you know.
You might be right. Okay, you might be right. There is, but you know what? It's, again, it's one of those, it is a balance. Okay, I'll take that. It is a balance between giving me enough that I'm like, okay, this is actually really cool, and then just giving the whole farm away for free. So, okay, mm-hmm. there's a balance. But you know what? Give me enough, but don't make me bloody sign up to get my enough. How about we put it that way?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't need to sign up to get your 20-page document, of which mm-hmm. 18 pages is probably propaganda. There might be some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you're right. That is right. There's pros and cons. There's a balance. There always is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this has been an awesome session. I'm glad that we connected this week. We took a break last week for MLK. So we're mm-hmm. back at it next week. Let's see actually what's going on next week. I don't know if I'll be able to do next week, to be honest. I'll tell you why, folks. Next week is CyberTech.
Not only that, I'm on an airplane in the morning. I was going to have a conversation.
Oh, okay.
With,
so there we go.
I'm going to Canada Land. We could do
That's
earlier
right.
or late. When are you? Yeah, I'm going to Canada Land. So we could do Sunday or Tuesday if you want, or it depends when you're
Monday
cyber
to
tech.
Thursday, it's the Cyber Tech Week. So
You
we
want to
can
do
do a
Sunday?
Sunday. We can
We
do a
could.
Sunday.
You know what? We could record on the Sunday
Oh,
and
then
publish on
stream.
the Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, dear
Technology.
everybody, we will be on next week, but we ain't going to be live. So we're going to, we'll, if you've got questions, hit Danny or I out with
Yeah.
questions for next week. We'll figure something out. Yeah, let's do that.
Love it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Let's keep it
We'll
going.
do that. Sweet. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining. As always, we appreciate you. Thank you to Martin for coming on live. Chris, you are awesome. Thanks for
too.
Your weekly attendance. That is, I mean, just wow. Getting an hour of your time is awesome.
This is now scheduled in, and I have meetings basically around it, which makes life a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thank
I like
you
making your life
for
easier.
Putting all this together.
All righty. Take care, everyone.